The purpose of a lamp is to enlighten, to provide light, and this is why you do not hide it. Of course, in Jesus' day, lamps always had a flame and as such also gave off a little warmth. Light is clearly something good. Light helps us to see, it brings us security and helps us to feel safe. It draws our eyes. It is attractive. We instinctively look at things which are bright. Warmth gives us comfort and reminds us of home. Why then would we hide or conceal something which is good? There is a true sadness when we not only hide our own light, but deny the light in others. When we do this, we deny the world hope. We deny something which is from God. What is this light which we are to put on the lampstand? Is it not Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the light which enlightens every human being, the light which has the power to transform every human being and shine out? The preacher tries to be that lampstand from which the light of Christ shines out. One of my heroes is Blessed Jean-Joseph Le Taste, a Dominican from the 19th century who in 1864 was sent to preach to a group of convicted women prisoners, and he was dreading it. He saw them as the world saw them, according to the flesh. Jesus in John's Gospel declares himself to be the light of the world, the one who bears witness to himself. He then rebukes the Pharisees for judging according to the flesh. Jesus says, "You judge according to the flesh, I judge no one." The Pharisees are those who do not see that the world is illumined by Christ, that nothing truly makes sense apart from being illumined by him. Did anything come into being but through him? We are then called not to see as the world sees, according to the flesh, but to see all things in the light of Christ, in the light of divine providence. At first, Blessed Le Taste did not see the meaning in the lives of these women. He did not understand the power of divine grace of which he was to be the conduit. Society and even religious people had taught him to be afraid, that they were undeserving of love, respect, and help. These women who had been publicly shamed and humiliated like Christ, they had much to teach him. In their coming together, they were both enlightened. Christ's light dwelt with them. Le Taste gave them hope for their future. He said, "Christ looks not on what you have done, but on what you are." Against the odds and with much opposition from religious as much as from anyone else, Blessed Le Taste founded a convent of Dominican nuns which still exists today, the Community of Bethany, which has grown and established new foundations across the world. Half the sisters were to be convicted women and the other half not, and no one was to know which was which. In prayer, Le Taste came to see that our Lord, on visiting the house of Mary and Martha, showed a preferential love for Mary Magdalene, who he describes as the repentant sinner, over Martha, who he describes as being of inviolable virtue. And does not the Gospel tell us that there is more rejoicing over one repentant sinner than over 99 who are righteous? In Luke's Gospel, Jesus tells us the parable of the moneylender who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. Now which will love him more? Simon Peter answered, "The one who has been forgiven more." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." And again Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." Le Taste writes, "She who had been a sinner had advanced further on the way of divine love than Martha, the model of virtue. Happy are those whose past urges them on to a greater love, and happy those others who in a sort of rivalry redouble their own efforts in order not to be left behind." God makes many people saints in ways which may seem strange to us. He uses the weak to shame the proud and the strong. The strongest part of the body cannot say to the weakest, "I have no need of you." And look at the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee says, "Thank you, Lord, that I am not like that man." But it was that man, not the Pharisee, who returned home justified. He saved all of us in a way that seemed strange. Look at the incarnation and the crucifixion. The omnipotent God became a baby. And at the crucifixion, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was stripped naked and his freedom and life taken away. He was nailed to the cross, mocked and shamed, humiliated as a criminal, the object of public scorn and anger from the crowds. And yet, by his wounds we are healed. His love has changed us. So then, Blessed Latas provides us with a challenge. Dishonored in the past, but long ago rehabilitated before God, they must now be rehabilitated before humanity. They must be saved out of love for him who said, "The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." Latas found in his sisters that Lumen Christi, which reverberates through the Paschal Church, and who refused to allow that Paschal light to be hidden under a bushel. So then, the measure we give out in mercy, forgiveness, and charity will be the measure we get. If we have little charity for others, even what little we have will be taken from us. But if we have much charity for others, we will be given much more. So then, may we be illumined and enlightened by Christ, the true light, who enlightens every human being. Illumine us, Lord, like you illumined Blessed Latas, so we may illumine and enlighten others. Set us alight with your charity, Lord, that we may set others alight with the warming fire of divine love. Grant us the grace to be that lampstand from which your light and warmth shines out in the darkness. And grant us, Lord, the grace, if we do not love sinners, not to preach to them, but to preach to ourselves. Amen.